Hey, this is Morgan from the Anti-Glory Radio Play, located at b2.vsanc.com. And you're listening to Buffy Between the Lines.
All right, welcome and hi to everyone. Here we are with our lovely Episode 7 commentary, and I'm Kim, the producer for Buffy Between the Lines, one of them. And we are here with a great crowd of people for this commentary. So I'm actually going to let you guys introduce yourselves, and let's start with Scott.
Hi, I'm Scott Corelli. I play Warren.
Hello, my name is Ryan Beauvais, and I am very, very sexy. But I will not be speaking in a low voice this evening. I also wrote this episode.
Hi, my name is Mad Scientist, and I play Willow.
So we've all had a chance to hear the phenomenal Episode 7, and I have a few questions. And the first one, I think, is actually going to be just for the actors. What's been the biggest obstacle you've had concerning your particular character? Let's start with Mad.
Well, you wouldn't know it currently because I have a rather bad cold, but I speak with a pretty bad southern drawl, and pretending to be from SoCal is a bit hard.
All right. I just keep wanting to call you Warren. You're always Warren in my head. Scott, go for it.
To be honest, I think the most difficult thing that I've had to deal with is, I don't know how many people listening to this know, but I do another podcast, and so the thing that I'm always consciously trying to do is change my voice enough that I don't sound like myself, because I don't want it to – anyone who listens to the show that also listens to mine, I don't want that to like take them out of the show. So that's been really difficult for me.
Good. Yeah. And I'm going to skip straight to Ryan for what is your writing process? Can you go through that for us?
Well, I imagine like most of the other writers, I've been given a basic framework to work with within the context of the season by Tabitha and Kim. So basic ideas that we were going to explore Willow. This is Willow's episode. The basic idea was to explore her role in the wake of Buffy's death. And that's the larger idea with Bedia, Between the Lines, of course. But this episode in particular concerns her. Now, in the TV series, she was always subordinate to Buffy. And as the sidekick, she never really had to make the hard choices. And even though she grew a lot in power and confidence over the years, she was always her. She was the mousy damsel in distress a lot of the times, as much as anyone on that show is going to be a damsel. And even though she grew, you know, she never had to make the hard choices. She never had to be the one at the front dealing with all life and death stuff. And so I knew that as soon as I wanted to start this episode, I wanted to tackle a couple things. First, I wanted to sort of go back to that whole thing about, you know, the season 6 premiere is called Bargaining, so I wanted to go to one of the stages of grief, and I really tried to channel a whole lot of anger. And, you know, that was fun because, you know, you contrast it with the goofiness of the frogs hopping around everywhere. So that's some nice contrast. Classic Buffy, the ridiculous supernatural stuff with, you know, the raw human emotion. And so I wanted to tackle that, show her anger and frustration, and also show just how hard it is to be the person in that position. So that's where I start. And basically then I just took the demands of the episode that I got from the ideas talking with Tabitha and Kim and started to work around that and work around a storyline that would really explore through frogs, fractures, and fuzzy sweaters. I'm pretty sure I got that out of order. You know, how Willow was going to deal with this. And, you know, the episode sort of came out pretty easily. It was just a whole lot of dialogue writing followed by organization, because right off the bat, I really knew what I wanted to do with the character.
Excellent. So the next question is actually for everyone, and I think we'll go around in that same circle that we started with Scott, Ryan, Mad. Do you have any like recording or writing rituals that you do every time you sit down to do this?
I guess the first time that I went to record, I watched I Was Made to Love You, because that was sort of worn, I guess, at this time period. So, you know, I watched that episode, and, you know, not wanting to watch that episode three or four times, I would just kind of surf YouTube, search for Warren Mears, find some fan videos and stuff like that. A lot of Andrew Warren fanfic, which made me a little uncomfortable, but it really helped me a lot in getting into the character, because I don't pop up in every episode. There would be a few weeks at least in between recording schedules, so I definitely need the refresher every time.
Well, starting out, I hadn't seen season 5 in a long time, so I went out and bought the DVDs, when I was thinking, well, you know, I could go back and learn a few things. So then I did, and, as far as rituals go, I tend to, be coming home right before the big group, you know, recording sessions, because I go to school, and so I tend to be just coming home, so I'll eat as fast as I can, down whatever beverage I happen to have sitting next to me, and, you know, wait for the call.
And Ryan, do you have any rituals when you're writing? Any special places you have to be, or special things you have to have around you?
Well, being the chauffeur, small preface, I was always the driver and amongst my group of friends, so I very quickly learned to deal with a lot of distractions. So I can write almost anywhere, from my apartment, where my roommates are constantly nesting and watching DVDs. They actually did Buffy a couple of months ago. And to school down, which is pretty close to here, or just in a coffee shop, whatever. Specifically, rituals, well, I always like to light 2 candles and paint a pentagram over my computer, but that disturbs some people. No, really, though, I don't really have any rituals, and specifically for the episode, I don't know, I'm one of those writers who really likes to live in his head, and I've seen the series so many damn times that all it took was a brief refresher of the episodes through a transcript, and I was good, I was set to go.
Very cool. Another question, and this one is for Scott. Do you think that your podcast has changed because of Buffy Between the Lines, or have you done anything interesting because of Buffy Between the Lines, or
is this time for my plug?
This is time for your plug.
Okay.
I'm giving you an in.
Yeah. Well, thanks to Buffy Between the Lines and all the fun that I've had working on this, and getting to know kind of the inner workings of an audio drama, and sort of learning to love and respect the audio drama for what it's actually capable of, which is a lot more than most people give it credit for. I've since actually created my own audio drama called Geek by Night. That's premiering sometime in March. We don't have an exact date yet. We're hoping third week of March, but it's actually it's also given me a lot of actors to work with, because when we held auditions, a lot of Buffy Between the Lines actors tried out. So Chris, who plays Xander on the show, and Cliss, who plays Tara, is on the show, and Andrew Ball, of course. Mm-hmm. It's really opened a lot of doors for me, and I wish I could keep. I wish I could spend as much time as I was, because I was an editor as well on Buffy Between the Lines, and I had to drop out to spend more time on Geek by Night. But it's coming along swimmingly, and I'm very, very excited. And I thank you guys for sort of opening that door for me.
Very cool.
Well, the next question I have is for Matt. Well, it may not actually be for Matt. Ryan might have a better idea. Where did the idea to give Willow a frog phobia come from?
Well, I'm actually pretty sure that came right from the show. I believe it was in a season 2 episode. I can't remember which one, but she gets caught trespassing somewhere in the school, and then she tries to say that she's crazy by going, "Frogs, frogs, frogs are all over me," and then she later just justifies that. Frogs creep me out, or something.
Oh, I just Wikipedia'd this. this is the way I check things. But the Wikipedia says, in season 2, Willow reveals that she has a fear of frogs, a fact that she exploits to help Buffy escape and killed by death.
Excellent.
Called it.
Yeah, I was wondering if anyone had the actual episode, so cool. And this one definitely is for Mad. Tell us about your screams in this episode.
I had a mixture of encouragement and discouragement for those. You know, y'all gave me some great feedback. My mom didn't like it much, but you know, I enjoyed doing it, and it sounds like it fits.
I heard a rumor that you fell out of your chair at one point.
Oh, yes, I did. Intentionally fall out of my chair because it called for it. It said I had to fall down or something. So I even recorded myself saying, if this is the end of the recording and you somehow get this, I probably, like, died, broke my neck or something, falling out of this chair. I don't remember exactly what I said, but it was something to that effect.
Awesome. The things the actors will do. We appreciate the devotion.
Have to get it right.
Awesome. All right. So this next one is for everyone. And let's go. Let's start with Scott. What is your favorite scene from this episode?
Well, it's funny because when I listen to it, because there's such a gap between recording and actually hearing the finished episode, I've actually completely forgotten what my lines for this episode were, so it was like listening to it fresh. And to be honest, that opening scene, that it still strikes me as really funny. And I know that's, I don't know, I guess it's weird because I'm in it, but Ryan, mad props on writing the trio. It was really good.
Thank you. Yes, I've had a lot of inspiration in my own life. Although I don't play D&D, that was a little... I just want to put that out there.
There's nothing wrong if you do, though.
No, of course not. No, I'm not implying anything at all. I'm just, you know, snickering off microphone.
Wait, that was... But Ryan, go ahead and share. What's your favorite scene from this episode?
You know, I'm in the boat with this guy here. It's hard for me to pick a favorite because it's been a while since I've really visited it. But I think it'd have to be a tie. I think my favorite still, and this was one I went over and over and over. I probably spent more doing more writing on this one scene than almost anything else on the entire episode, maybe entire portions of the episode. It was the final scene with Xander and Willow, because that was just such, you know, after an episode that was a mix between the lighthearted and a few, you know, really dark moments for this character, it was just this one big, unexpected emotional punch coming from someone you wouldn't expect that kind of thing from. So yeah, comedically, I think it would definitely have to be a little brief moment where the trio are fighting off the frogs in their basement, and Warren just says to him, "Congratulations, you have the Force and you young dipskit, and it's running all over town." I was just in love with that line the moment I wrote it.
Well, and we've definitely, I mean, I think that you're right about the punch of that episode, I mean, of that scene with Xander, because we've gotten feedback already on the impact that's had on some of the listeners. So good work. But Mad, what's your favorite scene on this one?
Oh, they're all so fun. I loved the communication between Willow and Anya. It really plays at their tensions well. And it also draws some interesting parallels, I think. I mean, the writing there is ingenious.
Definitely.
Well, thank you again. You're so generous.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was, and Tabitha said it was fun to record, and it was really, I didn't record it, but I did get to listen to it when I was editing, and that was hilarious to listen to. So I was like, wow, they did a good job.
Sorry to cut it. I just want to...
No, go ahead.
I mean, these are just the moments that you watch the show for, these tiny little moments of the most unexpected little character revelation. I mean, the idea that Willow has every bit of stupid a phobia as Anya, and that she can take absolute pure joy in that, and it's perfectly her, and it's perfectly Willow to be angry about it and fed up with it. That's just the stuff you watch the show for. So when I set out to write this, I just decided I wanted to have as many of those little fun off-kilter moments as possible, because, you know, that's the stuff that kills people when they watch the show. That's the stuff they keep coming back for.
True. All right, and let me see. This is for everyone again. What do you find to be the hardest part of playing your character or writing for an existing character? And I think we'll start with Ryan.
Yay, me again. At some point, I'm going to have to do my sexy radio voice here if you guys keep throwing me all these questions. Okay, the question was the hardest part?
Yeah, what's the hardest part of writing for these characters that are already out there? They're not original to you.
Well, the creative process in general likes to smack me around, but, you know, strangely enough, especially when it comes to my favorite shows, I actually find it easier to write for existing characters because you have actors who've already showed you the range of these characters. You have writers who've explored a lot of corners of their personalities. So I actually find writing existing characters to be quite a breeze as opposed to writing original ones, especially because when you're writing original ones, you don't have a human voice in your head. You really got to construct it from the ground up. So I think the major challenge with... writing an existing character, the only major challenge I had was writing Willow to not be too much of a Buffy when she was trying to step into the leadership role. That was the hardest part.
Makes sense. Matt?
Oh, okay. Well, I have to say, of all the aspects of Willow that, you know, I mean, she's such a multidimensional character. You have at the core the lonely girl who just, you know, grew up, you know, in an atmosphere that was somewhat hostile to her. And then you have kind of a superhero. And then you have these facets of learning and experience. But I have to say, the thing that I have struggled with the most about Willow is, her power. It's difficult to do things like speak Latin and be Dark Willow when you're just simply not, you know? I mean, I took French for several years. I'm not, you know, I'm not fluent, but other than the accent being terrible, I can read in French pretty well. But Latin is like Ferrari demon to me. So I see like a paragraph in Latin staring at me and I'm like, Cliss, could you read this for me? But I have to say the hardest thing about playing Willow is developing that multidimensional, powerful aspect.
Excellent. And Scott?
Mostly, you know, before, like when I first started this and we hadn't heard any feedback at all from the show, the thing that scared me the most, I suppose, was like fan feedback, I guess. Because, you know, Buffy being the way it is with its rabid fan base and without it, I don't think the show would even exist. I suppose it was... that was always kind of in the back of my mind. Like, I didn't want to disappoint them, I suppose. and plus, Warren in general is just a character that's very much not me. So I, you know, that was that was probably, I mean, that was difficult, but then real, real fun at the same time. So.
All right, and so for let's start with Matt. What was there an episode of the show that you watched to get Willow down in this sort of setting?
Some points of interest to me were the gift triangle and. You know, just for frame of mind, I really did go over pretty much the whole series except 6 and 7, which I had trouble getting a hold of. But I went through the whole thing after the audition process and just, you know, studied it. And I lived Willow in the Oz years, and I lived Willow in the the early Terry years, anyway. But I have to say, Triangle and The Gift, and maybe a couple of others, really did speak to me about where Willow is now.
Excellent. Ryan, were there any particular episodes that you focused on to write this?
Like I mentioned earlier, in that overly long diatribe about the writing process or whatever, I really, when I was doing a refresher, just looked at season 6 to see where they were, you know, stages of grief, where everyone was sort of falling in. And since we were going between 5 and 6, just sort of wanted to extrapolate where they'd fallen between the two.
Excellent. And Scott, you pretty much answered that one as well.
Yeah, pretty much.
This I really like to hear. What was it like to hear the end product? Because, you know, obviously you guys don't have the opportunity to listen to it completed, you know, for quite a while after you've done your part. So how does that come across to you once you've gotten a chance to hear it all? Let's start with Scott.
Very impressive, to be honest. Because the thing that struck me the most was the last scene that I recorded, which was when episode 3, I believe. That first trio scene was actually done like over Skype and all that. So, we kind of had each other to bounce off of, even though I believe you were playing Jonathan, right, Kim?
I was actually. No, I was actually that time. I was the director for that one. Yeah.
but I mean, you know, and we had a lot of fun, and that was great. And then I went to record the lines for this and realized that they were all solo recordings. And I have to say, I was very impressed with how those solo scenes really put together very well. I mean, it never once sounded like we weren't in a basement together playing Dungeons and Dragons. So, I was really, really happy with the end product.
Excellent. Matt?
Oh, yeah, I really agree with you. The editing process here is phenomenal. But I have to say, the thing that really gets me about hearing these episodes for the first time is being able to see all of these little character pathways so much clearer. I mean, I have become very self-involved with Willow. I mean, Willow and I have this relationship going where I record her lines and I know what she's doing. But then you have this other stuff that's going on in the script, and yeah, you read it, but you don't really understand it until you hear Giles say whatever it is that Giles says, this, you know, in this particular instance, or Xander, you know, the bargaining deal. I mean, just seeing how these characters end up in the situations they got in, and then seeing how they get back out of them, you know, in an audio way, just is amazing.
I think it's been the longest gap for you, so...
Yeah, sorry, the question was again, what was the effect when I listened to the finished product?
Yeah.
Well, it was like, holy crap, my speakers are working. good investment. Okay, well, I'm sorry.
Next time we'll try to spend some of that on the mic, too.
Thanks.
Sorry. Teasing.
The truth lives in sarcasm. It's a very smart-ass philosophy. But I believe it was my father who said, smart ass is better than dumbass. Anyway, I'm going to go on answer the question here. The effect was just freaking surreal. I mean, this is the first thing I've written that got this much feedback from this many people and really got produced with a full... I mean, I've never even taken a script to get an official reading from a set of actors before, so just hearing it was freaking surreal. It was like, wow... It's sort of an outside yourself moment. I mean, at the same time, I knew I wrote this, but it was like, like you said, I didn't have any involvement in, you know, directing or recording the voices or editing it together. I didn't go through that, you know, hard process where you've heard it a billion times by the time you have a finished product. So it was like, wow, on the one hand, hey, I wrote that. And on the other, it was just this completely alien thing I was getting to know as it went on. It was just surreal. That's the only way to describe it.
That's very cool, though. And I really just have one more question for everyone. And that really is, so what do you feel like you have taken away from this experience? And we'll start with Mad.
Oh, no. Wow, this question is unusual. What do you feel that you have taken from this experience?
I was just going to say, you can consider this either the whole series or, you know, just this episode. Either way is cool.
Well, I think I'd like to address just this episode because I can't go on enough about how proud I am of my work on this episode. Because I love to talk about myself, and but seriously, this episode has kind of changed the way that I viewed Willow in, you know, Buffy Between the Lines as a whole, and before season 6 in general. Because she, you think, you know, right up into season 6, that the scared little girl that we saw in Welcome to the Hellmouth is gone, and she's evolved into this, you know, powerful, outstanding woman. But really, there's a bit of that left in Willow, and I think that, you know, that is part of how I got into the show in the first place, and I love it when it kind of shines back through that lost quality that the characters have.
Excellent. Let's move on to Scott.
Well, mine, you know, I pretty much answered this earlier. You know, Geek by Night, it's become a very major part of my life at this point. And I really owe it all to you guys because without this show existing and without me working on it as both an actor and an editor, I don't think it ever would have happened. So, you know, that's really just experience is really what I've gotten from working on the show. And I thank you guys every day for it.
Oh, thanks. All right. And Ryan?
Well, the result was that I wrote a script. Who knew? But really, I think what I really got the most of this, I mean, it was just great. You know, the collaboration with other people. I learned a lot about myself as a writer and a lot about how other people do things, and you know, just this was the first real bunch of collaborative writing I've done, so just that experience was good, learning to deal with other people. And I mean, the more cosmic result of it was just this, it was just profound, just seeing the passion of this many people come together about this one little show, and the huge amount of work so many people put into this to make this as good as it was, and I'm just constantly amazed by that. You know, congratulations, because you guys have done a lot. It's been really cool.
Well, we couldn't do it without all of you awesome people. So on that note, actually, I wanted to, I know that, Scott, you had a chance to talk a little bit about Geek by Night. Was there anything that, Ryan, that you wanted to sort of plug and mention where people can find you if they want to check out anything else that you might be working on?
Well, when I make a hole in my bolt, when I make a hole in the boat, I plug that too. But as for websites, I will, I actually do, and this was how Kim and Tabitha found me. I write a detailed academic sort of a critical review and analysis of Angel. A couple of years ago, I stumbled onto a site where a guy was doing Buffy, and I said, I really like Angel. Can I do Angel? And that's really where I've developed most of my writing chops, analyzing Angel in depth. So if you want the site, it's www.superger.com/angel. And yeah, you'll find in-depth reviews and analysis and season reviews. I just finished up season 3, and I'm starting season 4.
Woohoo. And Matt, do you have anything that you wanted to share?
Well, other I don't projects? Have anything that I'm plugging, but I would like to say kind of a special thank you to Slay Alive and to Whedon-esque for getting me more involved with the fandom so that I could find opportunities like this to participate actively.
Awesome. Yeah, and Slay Alive, I know that we haven't talked about it a lot, but it is also an excellent resource for people. If you have not checked it out, you should, because it's a very cool forum with,
oh, yes,
and they get some very firsthand information, which is nice.
Oh, yes, and it's a great place to go to talk about action figures, which is like one of my little hobbies is collecting action figures. So I dearly love the Buffy action figures, and they do a lot to try to encourage companies like Diamond Select Toys to continue to make those action figures. So I really appreciate Slay Alive.
Yes. Yes. So one of our other writers, Allie, is very involved with Slay Alive and the action figures as well. So yay. And you can check out her website or her podcast if you want to learn more about the action figures, because she talks about them. I think that's all we have for today. Is there anything that anyone wanted to offer to mention before we head out?
I don't think I actually got to mention my website.
Oh, please do.
Yeah, it's geekshow.us. I do 3 podcasts there, and then of course look to that site for Geek by Night updates. I should have an update up very soon. That's very, very, very exciting. I don't want to jinx anything and someone die horribly in a plane crash or something, and this will never happen. So I don't want to say over the air, but
he's got big news. It's exciting. You'll all be excited to hear it when it comes.
Well, I'll throw something in here. Just one last bit of some practical advice for everyone, right from the Jaws man himself, his most iconic quote: always be yourself unless you suck.
Thank you. Well said. And with we're going to close up our episode 7 commentary. And thank you again to Mad Scientist, who plays Willow, to Ryan, who wrote the episode, and to Scott, who plays Warren. And I'm Kim, signing off.
Grr.
Gah.
Yay, me.
SFFaudio.com. The sound of tomorrow. Explore the limitless worlds of the imagination with SFFaudio.com. Reviews and features, audiobooks, online audio, full cast audio drama and radio theater. The ultimate source for news from the world of science fiction and fantasy audio, brought to you by the most trusted team in the business. SFFaudio.com. The future never sounded so good.